Hey, mamas, have you ever found yourself deep in the trenches of toddlerhood, just wondering if there's like some secret manual that you missed to navigate those epic tantrums? To be honest, even beyond toddlerhood, right? Let's talk about school age kids. Tantrums just don't go away because your kids survive the terrible twos. It just continues on sometimes, no matter how big your kids get, because as we know, there are highs and lows of every kid's life and our lives as well. So what do you do when these tantrums or just these fits of frustration jump up in the middle of your day out of nowhere? Well, today we're going to dive into the world of our spirited little ones, uncovering biblical wisdom and practical insights on how to shepherd your little guy or little girl through these stormy moments. Just imagine if we could not just survive, but actually thrive through tantrum territory by being proactive, understanding the heart of prevention, and so much more. So I give you full permission to grab your coffee, your kombucha, your green smoothie, maybe a little bit of all three. Take a deep breath and let's explore how we can actually lead our kids with grace, patience, and mama, a whole heck of a lot of love. Ready to turn those meltdown moments into opportunities for growth and connection? I hope you are, because we're about to dive in and get started.
The Energized Mama Podcast, a place where we explore together
how to raise those littles to know the Lord
while growing in your own intimacy with Jesus, learning how to keep your energy
while handling the inevitable stress,
and rediscovering yourself outside of motherhood. It is possible. Let's do it together.
Mommy.
Mama, Mama.
The Energized Mama. Yeah. You might do.
When you hear the word shepherd, what do you think? If you're anything like me, you probably immediately imagine just some guy out in the middle of a field with a long cloak, a big furry beard that looks like he hasn't bathed in days, and maybe a big rod or staff, right? We hear the word shepherd so much in the Bible. And actually in the Bible, what a shepherd's role is extends far beyond just tending to his sheep. There is so much involved with being a shepherd. And what's beautiful and how the Bible uses the shepherd, the word shepherd, and also the role of a shepherd is to really truly symbolize how Jesus loves us. And in the Bible, it calls us to shepherd our children. So what does that mean, right? I mean, sometimes we probably do all feel like sheep herders. I know I do with my four-year-old when he sometimes feels allergic to listening. It's like, come on, buddy, let's go this way. No, a little bit this way. Oh, come on, this way. No, no, not that way. I did not say that. But ultimately, far beyond just the tending to, right, my little man. In the Bible, it calls us to shepherd our kids because it also calls us to give them guidance, to give them care, protection, and even leadership. So biblically, shepherding a person, or in this case, our children, actually involves leading them with compassion, providing for their needs, protecting them from harm, and guiding them in the right path. Again, just like a shepherd does with their flock of sheep. So no pressure, right, mamas? I mean, well, might as well just, you know, turn off the phone right now because I'm sure you've got this covered. Or maybe not. If you're like me, we can all use a little extra guidance in this area. And for some reason, there's a reason why you clicked on this episode. Maybe you're binging and this is like the fifth episode of mine you've started to listen to. If that's the case, thank you very much. I'm giving you a huge hug through the phone. Or perhaps you found me through a search, a web search, and you are specifically looking for ways to help handle tantrums, especially in a biblical way. Well, I have good news for you because I have three biblical ways that I actually took the time to research and to pray over and really ask the Holy Spirit to guide and lead me in sharing with you today. It's biblically backed and it's three very applicable steps. That is, if you're new to the Energized Mama podcast, that is ultimately what I strive to do, is to give you not just biblically based answers, but real practical tools and tips so you can apply the Bible to your everyday life in this modern motherhood that you are living. And that's what's amazing about the Word of God, is it is alive and it is true, and you can apply it to the crazy business of your day today. So let's get started. Let's talk about these tantrums, okay? So the first and foremost, as with, I think, anything in life, is prevention is key, right? So if you can, prevent a tantrum from happening. That's going to save you and your child a lot of stress, anxiety, frustration, and a whole lot of emotional energy, right? So especially when your children are younger, if they are in that toddler age of 2 to 4, they're just learning to begin to navigate this kind of just like vast sea of emotions. So as much as you can prevent them from having to entertain them or having to confront them, the better. It can play such a pivotal role. It's almost like picking your battles, right? So what you want to do is create a nurturing and stable environment for our kids so that you can basically stop as many storms as possible. So one way to do this and to prevent tantrums from happening is to establish routines. Consistency is comfort. If you want to imagine a little math equation with words, right? You just imagine consistency equals sign comfort, right? That is actually super comforting for us as adults very often. However, it's even more so for kids. They truly thrive on routine. So if you can truly give your kids more consistency in their lives, the less tantrums that you can expect. Just as God, for instance, provided manna, right? Like gave the Israelites each morning, gave them their manna that they could count on, that they knew God was going to provide. Regular routines for your kids, say regular routines around play and rest, can really provide a sense of security and predictability for your kid. And this stability is going to actually help minimize frustration and anxiety, which are ultimately common triggers for tantrums in your little ones. And honestly, it's going to help you as well, because then you have something to rely on. You have a schedule that you can rely on. Of course, with any kind of routine, it's very important, especially when you have little ones, to remain flexible. Of course, and to be able to go with the flow, because we know that, you know, kids are not predictable and sometimes tantrums do happen. So I think we really have to alter our expectations to what do we expect from our kids? Do we expect perfection? Or do we just expect real rawness? And that's where this next part of prevention really it comes in handy, which is establishing clear, loving boundaries as well, right? So kids, again, they thrive with routines, but surprisingly, contrary to, I think, a lot of what our culture is currently teaching is with kind of a life with no boundaries and do whatever you wish. In the Bible, it shares how important boundaries are. And in Proverbs 22:6, it actually encourages us as Christian mamas to train up a child in the way he should go, right? So training them up is actually giving that child guidance. It's actually sharing with them, hey, baby, these are some boundaries, some things that you don't know that God has given me knowledge, has given me wisdom on that, hey, I'm trying to protect you here. So establishing clear and loving boundaries is a form of training that helps our little ones understand what is actually expected of them, because that's sometimes how tantrums just show up. They kind of appear on the scene, is because sometimes little ones just don't know what's expected of them. So if you set clear, loving boundaries, you know, and you give them consistency, again, you establish them as part of their routine, you're actually going to help prevent behavioral outbursts that could become something that is really bigger than needed. And by providing a clear framework, that is something that they know is expected of them, which they can operate safely, again, is going to help them feel safe, feel loved, and establish less frustration, anxiety in their little lives. Okay, so first biblical way to handle tantrums, right, was to first try to prevent it. If you can, in all ways possible, prevent it. And again, that's biblical to really train your child up. It is our duty and our responsibility, right, parents? We are not their friends. Our kids will have many opportunities, have many friends in their lives, but they only have one set of parents. Or maybe you're a single parent, so you're doing double duty, which is a lot of extra pressure. And mama, if you're out there, if you're a single mom listening, please know that you are welcome here, that you are safe, that there is no judgment as to how or why you became a single mom. My community is full of single moms, is full of moms from all different kind of backgrounds, different financial standpoints. So please know that you have a safe place and you can come join us. There's a link below to my private free community that you can come join, where you can just be raw and be yourself and be around other moms that will love and support you. But number two, so besides prevention, number two, when a tantrum is happening or about to happen, or maybe you're in the full blown thrust of the tornado, right? Like right in the middle of it. First and foremost, instead of getting to the disciplining, you want to meet their needs, right? So number two, meet their needs. You want to tune in to their emotional needs. What is the tantrum telling you? What is being triggered, right? So this is the perfect way for you to be the hands and feet of Jesus to your child, right? I mean, just as Jesus was attuned to the needs of those around him, being attentive to your toddler or your little one's emotional state can really help you address their needs before they escalate into something much bigger and much deeper. So this could be just the simple things of recognizing signs of, say, tiredness, hunger, overstimulation, and responding proactively to meet those needs. So of course you can do this in the prevention stage or when there is a temper tantrum happening, or even when there's just some sassiness. You know, it's like my four-year-old, getting close to his fourth birthday a couple weeks ago, I just noticed this sense of sassiness coming out a lot more. And when I took a step back, instead of getting upset at him, which, hey, I ain't perfect, right? Every mom listening, full confession here. Like, there's times where I snap back at him, or there were times that I even disciplined him, in times that I probably, looking back, wouldn't have had I just taken a step back and recognized, like, hey, my baby boy is hungry. Ooh, he's hangry. Like, hello. I don't know about you, but I've been hangry many times in my life. Or maybe just stimulated. You know, sometimes our kids get around things that are so normal to us. Like, you know, you got the TV on, there's music in the background, you have, you know, your other kids talking in the other room, you've got some, you know, a lot of play that they've had with friends. And then our kids, sometimes they just don't know how to, often at this age, speak what they're feeling. So it comes out in other ways. So again, meeting their needs and getting them those basic needs met will very often either prevent a tantrum or stop one when it's already happening. All right, so point one, we've talked about, right, preventing. As much as possible, preventing tantrums before they happen. You know, shepherd your kids, learn to understand their heart, look at the environment. How can you establish routines and give them clear, loving boundaries? Number two, when a tantrum is imminent or if it's full on happening, tune into their emotional needs. How can you meet their needs? And sometimes it's going to be physical needs too, as we talked about with that tiredness, that hunger, overstimulation. How can you meet them there? But the third and final tip is, again, we can't always prevent a tantrum. So please, like, if your kids are having a lot of tantrums lately, or say you've already done step one, step two, and you're like, Cheyenne, I am still struggling. I'm doing these other things, but my kids are still having struggles. They're still having disagreements with me. We're still arguing, or they're having these blown up tantrums with their siblings. That's okay. That doesn't make you an imperfect mom. It makes you perfectly imperfect, right? Because none of us are perfect, but you got to give your permission just to be imperfect sometimes, because you're never going to do this perfectly. And what's great and good news, hopefully is good news for you too, is that your kids are also not perfect, right? They're never going to do everything absolutely perfect either. So the step number three is to teach healthy coping skills, right? So to bring it to a biblical base here, in Ephesians 4:26, the writer advises us to be angry and do not sin. So sometimes people see this verse as a dichotomy, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think there's some Christians out there that believe it's a sin to be angry. And of course, sometimes it is. But when you look at this juxtaposition and you look at the fact that you can be angry and do not sin, it means that you can be both at the same time, that you can be angry and not sinful. So what does that mean? Well, I believe this verse actually opens the door to teaching emotional regulation by example. It's that age-old principle of reacting to something versus responding, right? So when your child is in the middle of a tantrum, if we react to the tantrum, we are then not emotionally regulating ourselves. Right? So actually, this tip is teaching coping skills to your child, but also to yourself. And often by exemplifying, you know, showing an example through ourselves to our kids, especially your older kids, they're going to adapt to how you also are regulating. I notice, again, I'm bringing up my four-year-old again, because I have a one-year-old and he is, or almost one-year-old, and he is just getting into walking and he's not quite at that temper tantrum stage, but I'll be there. And I have plenty of other tips on this podcast for those of you who are struggling with, say, babies who are not sleeping or teenagers too, because we also have a 15-year-old. But anyways, with my four-year-old, you know, I notice the more I raise my voice with him, the more he raises his voice with me. And so it's those subtle things that he copies. And I've also noticed that he's done it even when I haven't done it. But when I ask him, hey, buddy, why are you raising your voice at me? Mommy's not raising my voice. And there's been a few times he's told me, yeah, mommy, you're not now, but you have before. Or mommy yelled at me. And I'll say, no, I didn't. And he'll be like, yes, you did this morning. So it's amazing how our kids don't forget the things we wish they would forget sometimes. So ultimately, I just want to encourage you mamas that by demonstrating how to handle frustration and anger in constructive ways, it actually teaches your child how to manage their emotions, which is going to reduce the likelihood of tantrums as a response to overwhelmed feelings, which actually leaves me to our closing point, is the best teaching, you know, the best teaching of coping skills that you really can offer your child, in my opinion, is to encourage communication. The other day I was, you know, in my quiet time with the Holy Spirit, and as it was right around my child's, you know, four-year-old birthday, and it's really, if you have littles, like, if you've had a child turn four, I really feel like it's next level. Like, my son has really become a little person who's beginning to ask those questions of why, and he's starting to talk back, but he's starting to grow into this amazing little personality with his own thoughts, his own opinions, his own likes. And I was thinking about, what kind of man do I want to help raise him to being? What are some qualities that I want him to have? Especially because now he's playing t-ball and he's at school. So he's really now starting to live out his life in front of other people. And who do I want him to be around other people? Like, what skills do I want him to have? And, you know, I think of how often, especially for my generation, I think my parents, it was important for them to raise me to be a good listener, right? To be kind, to be respectful. And I do want my kid to be that. Don't get me wrong. But I think when I think about as an adult, what is one of the biggest skills I have needed that's helped me, I feel, actually get through a lot bigger challenges and trials and, basically tough situations with people, whether it's with friendships or in the workplace and all of that, even more than being kind and respectful, honestly, has been having good communication. I want to raise my child to be a good communicator, because when you encourage your kids to express their needs and feelings verbally, then they are able to process their emotions. I mean, every woman knows out there that's listening, how great does it feel when you verbally process something? How often do you maybe go to your husband and you're sharing with him something from your day or just expressing your heart, and he feels like, I need to solve this problem. And you're like, no, babe, I just need you to listen. Because for us, it is so powerful to communicate. And whether you have a daughter or a son you're raising, it is important to help them to use their words. So even if their vocabulary is limited, say you have a 2 or 3 year old, again, our 4 year old is bilingual. So he was later to talking and had a harder time expressing himself with words for a long time. Just helping them understand that they do have a voice and they can use their words, reminding them in that, can actually, you know, encourage them to express their needs, can significantly reduce frustration-led tantrums. Just trying to get them to open up verbally, even if it's just in a few words, often just calms their nervous system, allows them to self-regulate, and helps them think outside of the intense emotions that they are feeling, just by causing them to slow down and think, how can I best express this verbally? So mama, you made it. This is the end of episode 103, How to Shepherd Your Toddler, 3 Biblical Ways to Handle Tantrums. I hope you had some great takeaways. You know, I mean, temper tantrums at the end of the day are something we cannot avoid, okay? It happens to every single mama, no matter how much you try to prevent it, no matter how great your boundaries are, or how many routines you've established. I really, really encourage you to really aim to meet your kids' needs and to model model healthy coping skills for them and to encourage healthy communication. And just remember that don't take any of it personally. Your child is not personally attacking you, or it's not necessarily a reflection of your parenting. It's more of a reflection of what's going on inside. And again, going back to what a shepherd is, what is a shepherd and who does God call us to be as a shepherd, as a parent to our child, right? Guiding, caring, protecting, and giving them leadership, loving them, providing for their needs, protecting them from harm, and guiding them in the right path each and every single day. And if you want support in doing that, please go find the link below. Come join my free community where there's other like-minded mamas who want to tenaciously follow the Lord, who want to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and want to raise kids who do so as well. Come find your soul sisterhood, and I would be so honored to be there with you, loving you and guiding you alongside in your motherhood journey and beyond, because I do believe that God calls you to be more than a mother, and you will find resources for that and a lot of love and support on more episodes of The Energized Mama and inside my private group. Thank you so much for listening today. If you love this episode, please do yourself and myself a favor. Share it with another mom that's in your mom circle of friends, and go ahead, run on over to Amazon podcast and leave me a review so that I know how I'm doing and how much this episode meant to you. Here is a big virtual hug, mama. I'm giving you all my love, all my support. Thank you again for being here, for being present for your family and showing up for yourself today. This has been another episode of Energized Mama podcast. I'll see you on the next one very soon. Mwah.